His love endures forever. We've been talking about that for a little while. His love endures forever. Does His love endure forever? I believe it does, because it's mentioned, that psalm there says it. I think I gave you the citation on it, Psalm 136, isn't it? And many other places in Scripture talk about His love endures forever. His love is not fickle. His love is not does not change with the weather. His love does not change when you sin. It makes Him sad, and it cuts you out of a lot of blessings, Christian. Christians who walk in sin are cut out of a whole lot of blessings, but it doesn't mean He stopped loving you. So come back, right? You just come back to Him. Say, I'm sorry, Father. Help me. And He will. His love endures forever. That's a famous statement in the Old Testament. Now, if you look at the next slide, we're going to talk about something here. God talked to these people in Malachi, this Malachi chapter 1. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, last of the prophets. So you go to Matthew and hang a left, you'll get to Malachi. You can find Matthew, you can find Malachi. What's Malachi all about? Well, things are coming to a close in the Old Testament system, and as that kind of closed out, there were 400 years of silence after that, until the ministry of Jesus. And God said to these people here, I have loved you. I have loved you, says the Lord, Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? I have loved you, says the Lord. And they say, well, how have you loved us? Oh, we got a lot of folks walking around like that today. What do you mean you love me? If you loved me, my life wouldn't be such a mess. Not realizing that I probably brought on a lot of the mess myself. One old cowboy I heard say this one time, most of my education has been self-inflicted. Right? The Lord said to them, through the prophet, I have loved you. And they said, how? We don't see it. We don't see it. Listen to this it's an amazing conversation. I don't have time to read it all. Malachi, almost all of it is a conversation between God and His people. You ask, how have we loved you? Look at his answer. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? The Lord says, yet I have loved you, and Esau I have hated. And I've turned his mountains into a wasteland, left his inheritance to desert jackals. Edom are the same as Esau. May say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild. But this is what the Lord Almighty says, they may build, but I will demolish. What's God saying? Jacob and Esau were brothers. Which one got the favor? Jacob. Jacob later became Israel, didn't he? So he's talking to Jacob's descendants. And they say, well, how have you loved us? He said, I picked you. I chose you. I didn't choose Esau. And he says he hated Esau. I don't think he means he just, you know, a terrible hatred, but it means Esau didn't care. Esau didn't care about the birthright, did he? Esau didn't care about the inheritance. He didn't care about the things of God. And God said, he's not under my blessing. If you're not under God's blessing, you're under a curse. So he said to Israel, I picked you. That's how I love you. I've shown my love. Has God picked you today? Mm-hmm. For Christians, for believers, he went as far as anybody could go, even God, to make sure that you have a home in heaven. He did it all. Jesus bled out for you. And sometimes Christians think, well, that God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me. And you're in a rut. You're stuck in a habit. You get out of the habit of doubting yourself and doubting what God's doing for you, minimizing it. How have you loved us, they said. And God explained, I have loved you because I show you that because I picked you. I picked you. And even after they sinned, and even after they fell, and after the nation of Israel just made a mess of everything, Jesus came, born out of the nation of Israel, out of Jacob. Jesus came, still more grace, even though they didn't deserve any of it, still more grace pouring out. Jesus gave himself. Jesus taught, did miracles. Most of them didn't accept him. They didn't accept his work, didn't accept that he was Messiah, but some did. And I'm thanking God that some did, because we wouldn't know anything about Jesus if that first generation there had failed. Peter, James, John, all the others of those apostles, those early Christians, are all Jews, and they hung in there and they gave their lives. Some of them did. How have I loved you? I picked you. Now, the thing goes on and on. Read Malachi for yourself. It's interesting. It goes on and on. And he says to them, in verse 6, chapter 1, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I'm a father, where's the honor due to me? God said, why are you not honoring me? I'm your father. Then he says in the end of verse 6, if I'm a master, where's the respect due to me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, here goes this conversation again. But God, they're asking God, how have we shown contempt? We haven't shown contempt for your name. Verse 7, you place defiled food on my altar. What's he saying? You don't care. You don't give a rip about anything I'm telling you to do. You don't care about the sacrifice system. You don't care about anything I gave you. You don't care that I chose you. So you come in with I hope you understand what I mean by this, but there are people that make hundreds of thousands of Christians that make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year come to church and throw in $20. That's not showing a whole lot of gratitude, not realizing that if you didn't give me this, Lord, if you hadn't given me enough health and strength and intelligence to get this job, but we think we do all this on our own. How have you loved me? My life is crummy. How have you loved me? Well, I'm still with you. I chose you. I picked you. If you just listen to me, I'll fix it. Don't go around with your education all being self-inflicted. Just say, it's not God. Your problem is not God. I hear people say, well, why'd God do this to me? I know people that walked away from Christianity and don't want to have any part of it because something went wrong in their life and they think God did it. How have we loved you? How has he loved us? Many, many ways. Next slide. Go to John 14 if you can. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Is it important to listen to God and do what he says? Now, I prayed about this. It can go haywire because if you think I'm just nagging about you need to be a good Christian, No, I'm talking about something bigger than that. It's not about nagging you about what you're not doing for Christ. You heard enough of those sermons, haven't you? We all don't do enough, right? We admit that. But there's something bigger here. And what's bigger is in this idea of his love endures forever, John chapter 14. What's bigger in this is John chapter 14. Jesus said, and you'll see it on the screen there, verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. He says that quite often, especially in John's gospel. If you really care what I have done for you, if you love me, if you show any appreciation, you will listen to me because I'm smarter than you are. He doesn't say that, but it's obvious. You listen to me and do, because when you do what I lead you to do, it's better. It's so much better than the way you could come up with stuff. So if you love me, what does he say? Jesus says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. We're talking about love for God, aren't we? That God's love endures forever. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. John 14, verse 21. If you notice, this is a situation, verse 15, he talks about the Spirit, and then he comes down to verse 18, I'll not leave you as orphans, I'll come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you'll see me. So he's saying, I'm going away, I'm coming back. Then in verse 22, right after what I just read, verse 22, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us, not to the world? I often wondered what he meant by that. Well, I know what he meant by that, but what was the Lord's answer? This man, Judas, was not Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was going to betray Jesus. This is a different one. And what's he asking? Well, you said you're going away. Well, that bothered them right there, didn't it? You said you're going away and you're coming back, but you're not going to show yourself to the world. Judas evidently is thinking, Jesus, you're the answer. You're the answer. Why aren't you going to show yourself to everybody, not just us? Why aren't you going to show yourself to everybody? What's Jesus' answer? Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Why did Jesus say he's not going to show himself to everybody? They don't love him. They don't listen. Sounds like a Malachi situation where even his own people sometimes weren't listening and didn't care about the things of God. He's saying, Judas, the reason I'm not going to show myself to everybody is they don't care. They just don't care. Apathy. They just don't care. They don't know Jesus. They don't know about Jesus. They don't know much about Jesus. They don't want to know Jesus. And their mind is that I'd be giving up stuff if I have to do that. Why do we love him? Because of what he did for us. Herein is love, John wrote in 1 John, herein is love, not that we loved God, he loved us. He gave his Son for us. His love for us. And his love for us means, okay, I think I'll pay attention to him. I'll pay attention. I'll listen. I'll do whatever he calls me to do. In fact, I'm honored that he's calling me to do something. I'm honored that he has things for me to do. Put me to work, Lord. Some of you around here are like that. You just say, what can I do? What can I do for the Lord? How can I help today? Isn't that great? How can I help? What can I do? Because it's love for God. It's love for him. So John 14, 21, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them, and show myself to them. We talked about that last week a good bit, where he reveals himself to people who love him. Do you want God to be ever present in your life? Do you want the power of God working in your life? Well, you have to say, I love you, Lord. Forgive me for not realizing how much you care. And you leave yourself to him and you say, thank you. I love you, thank you, and I'll do what you call me to do. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I was praying one day and it just dawned on me one day. This great revelation just came to me. God is smarter than I am. Yet we don't want to do what God, I got a better idea. God, I see what you want me to do, but I don't want to do that. That's too much sacrifice. I got a better idea. Let me do this. Doesn't work that way. Did you know he said this a lot? We're going to have a couple of slides here with scripture on there if you want to write them down. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, do what? Keep my commands. Why? You love me, I love you. What's the problem? Do what I ask you to do. Next one on here. John 14, 23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Next slide. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. John 14, 24. John 15, 10. The next statement. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. John 15, verse 10. John wrote 1 John chapter 5. The next slide. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. In fact, this is love for God. He's going to describe it to you. Here's love for God. To keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes. Oh, his commands are not a problem. They're not a burden. In fact, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavenly laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, because my burden is light. Do you remember the first time? I hope you can remember that. Do you remember the time you fell in love? I remember high school, and all the boys were looking at the girls, and all the girls looking at the boys and trying to decide which one, you know, and trying to dating and doing all kinds of things. And then you find that one. Well, what happens? Oh, this may be the one. That's powerful. And so you want to spend all your time with the one. You want to be on the phone all the time with the one. You want to go out together. You want to spend time together. And sometimes you're driving in the car and you're going in and back and forth to the movie and to the restaurant, and you're driving and you can talk for 2-3 hours. If it's really the one, you can just talk and talk. And so you talk and talk a lot, and you go back and forth, and you spend a lot of time together. And so one night you're sitting there in the car, and she's got to go in the house. And so the guy says, okay, man, we've been doing this for an hour or so. Can I go now? Do I have to stay here and talk to you? I mean, it's been kind of hard. I didn't really want to do it, but guess what? That's his last date with her, right? If it's real, there's a passion there about spending time in the circle of this person's life, getting to know him, getting to know her, and it's joy. It is, the grass is greener, the sky is bluer. You ever been there where you just get giddy? I know y'all haven't been there, but you just can't wait to be together, and it's just amazing. And by the way, when you get older, don't lose that. You can maintain that. People don't believe that, but you can, with God's help, can't you? Is life better when there's this infatuation, there's this love, and it's like, oh boy. And you don't mind sacrificing for each other. And you don't mind, you don't forget that first anniversary of a date because you love her, and you want to do things for that person. You don't do it because you have to, right? Do we have to go on a date tonight? No, you don't have to. Bye. You know. But if the passion is there, the love is there. So God says, I have loved you so passionately. You're the apple of my eye. You're the one I want. I want you. God doesn't save us in mass. Now, he does save the church. You know what I mean by that. But he knows you by name. Moses was stunned. He said, God knows me by name. And he knows you by name. And you are his infatuation. You are the apple of his eye, the Bible says. You are his child. And he's so proud of you, and he's so, I think it was Max Lucado said one time, God loves us so much, he said, I think he's got our picture on his refrigerator. Just watch out with grannies who have pictures, right? We got a granny today who's probably got pictures, but John and Joyce Griffin used to have a sign shop, and I remember going in there one day, and he had a funny sign on the wall. It said, watch out for grannies packing photos. You know. You think God's showing your picture around heaven to the angels? Look at this. That's my baby. Look at there. Look at there. She came to Christ yesterday. We got her. She's ours. It's like having a, she was born, like reborn, born again, but you're born into the family of God, right? Is God proud of his new kids? Is God proud of all of his kids? Where has this revelation been in our lives? We think church is so dreary and it's so hard. I guess I got to go out today and try to be nice to somebody. It's real hard, but I got to try to be nice to somebody. No, no, no. If you're full of God's love, you're full of the Spirit, there's joy, right? Love and joy and peace and patience and all these good things. Is that mentioned a lot in Scripture? About if you love him, it won't be a problem for him to give you some assignments. You just say, oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you trust me to do this. I'm glad, you know, we were praying back there with the guys before we came out, and I think I said something like that, that it's just, even standing here holding communion trays is an honor. You're serving Jesus, leading a song, preaching the sermon, going out of here and helping somebody. It's an honor. It's an honor to be able to do that. Suppose you have a child that works for the president. It's not political. I'm just talking about a generic president. A right-hand person to the president. And the president sends my child off on different missions and ambassador this place, that place. You'd brag about that, wouldn't you? Yeah, she works at the White House. Is it an honor to serve God, even mopping a floor where a kid spilled a drink in this building? Well, think about it that way. Because it's an act of love. Have you seen acts of love? Old couple gets way past year, they've been married a long time, and one of them goes in a nursing home, and I remember mom, daddy was in a nursing home. She'd go by there every day, feed him lunch. Now, there was somebody there that could have fed him lunch, right? Why'd she do it? You know why she did it. Why does God care about you? Because he loves you. If he gives you some assignment to do, you ought to say, thank you. Thank you. I have found my place. I have found my place. Let's look at the next slide. He tells us there that the commands are not burdensome, right? The next slide, let me get my page going here. David, King David, Acts 13, I got to hurry. Acts 13, verse 20, because y'all in a hurry, aren't you? Are y'all in a hurry? Oh, okay. I got one or two amens, but anyway. God testified concerning him, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do, Acts 13, 22. How'd God feel about David? Oh, I love my David. Man after my own heart. What is it to be a man or woman after God's own heart? Well, first of all, he gives you assignments and you say, yes, sir, thank you. And you go out and do it. If it's a little hard, you come back and say, I need some help, Father. Can you help me? Yes. Let's get it done. David was called a man after God's own heart because he took to heart everything God wanted. If you love somebody, you take the heart that it's their birthday and you don't want to forget it. You take the heart, it's our anniversary, you don't want to forget it. You take the heart that, I know a husband that treats his wife really well, some of Judy's relatives, and that wife never looks at the gas gauge in her car. She doesn't have to. She never even looks at the gas gauge. Why? He fills it up all the time. Why? Because he loves his wife. Can we do God that way? Whatever you need, Lord. Whatever you need. Anything you need today? What's the kingdom need today? Let me know. I'll go do it. Let me go. I'll go. I told you about a young guy who worked at a big church here in the area. And I'd go over there for men's lunches and men, a pastor. Pastors would be there and men from everywhere. Christian men's lunch. The young guy always met me in the foyer. Pastor Roberts. Anything I can do for you today? Need me to wash your car? Come and cut your grass? He was sincere about it. If you think about the work of God that way, what a joy to be involved in the work of God. What a joy to be in church and be in this group this morning. What better place could you be? Come more often. You'll like it. You will, I promise. Psalm 27, verse 8, David said this, "My heart says of you." Did David have a heart for God? "My heart says of you." What's his heart telling David? Seek his face. Seek his presence. God, David's heart was for God. He said, "I got to know more about this." And God said, "I love that man. He's like me. He's after my own heart. He loves what I love." He cares. Next slide is John chapter 21. We'll get this one in. John chapter 21. In John 21, Jesus is raised from the dead. He's met with his disciples two times already in his resurrected body. And now he meets again with them. John chapter 21. The disciples are out fishing. And they've seen Jesus a couple of times in resurrected form. And now they're out fishing. And Jesus, they see a man on the shore. They don't know it's Jesus yet, but they're out there fishing and they haven't caught anything all night long. And so he says to them, "Have you caught anything?" "No, we haven't caught anything." He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat. You'll catch something." Do we need to keep on the right side of the boat? That's where he wants you to be. "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll catch something." They caught 153 fish. Pretty good fish fry, wasn't it? 153. With so many, the net wasn't even torn. Then Jesus said to them, verse 12, "Come have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. So Jesus came, took bread and gave it to them, then did the same with the fish. This was now the third time he had appeared to them. Verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, you know this story, don't you? What did he say to Simon Peter? "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" Do you love me more than these? "Yes, Lord. You know I love you." Then he said, "Feed my lambs." When Peter said he loved the Lord, what's the next statement of the Lord? "Got an assignment for you." How many times had Peter denied the Lord? Three, same night. Three times. One time he said, "I don't even know the man," and brought down curses on himself. So here comes Jesus in resurrected form. And he says it again in verse 16. "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." "Take care of my sheep." That assignment? You got something to do now. Third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt. I think Jesus was hurt when Peter denied him, but now Peter's hurt because he asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He keeps saying, "Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me?" "Well, you know I love you." This time he's hurt. And he said, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "What?" "Feed my sheep." I think Peter felt relief. When he had denied the Lord three times, now the Lord three times gives him a chance to retract all of that. "Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you." And every time, "I got an assignment for you." I wonder if Peter thought sometimes he had blown it so bad that Jesus would never talk to him again. I wonder if he thought he'd blown it so badly that the Lord would never want to have anything to do with him again. Certainly not give him an assignment of any kind, trust him in some form or way that could further the kingdom. And now he finds out, "I got a job to do." What's his job? "My sheep, my lambs." Well, who are they? Jesus' flock, that's us folks. And he gave Peter the assignment, "Take care of my people. Take care of my people." Did Peter do that? Yeah, he did. You read Peter's life from then on, Not only is he preaching dynamic sermons in the book of Acts, but he's also raising the dead and healing people and all kinds of things that God, Jesus just gave him all this power to do that. Love wants to obey because love loves. Next slide. If we love him, we love what he loves. This is talking about obedience, right? I'll move out of your way here. If we love him, we love what he loves. What's the next one? We love his ways. What else? Next one. We love his words. Do you love his words? His word? Next one. We love his wisdom. If he directs you with his wisdom, you should say, "Oh, thank you. I didn't know how I was going to get that done." The last one I think up there is his guidance. See, when he gives you commands, it's not trying to make your life harder. What he's saying is, this is my guidance. I need you to do this. Now, I could get somebody else. Right? He could. But if you step up and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll do that. I'll do that eagerly. Because I love you. You started this thing when you loved me, and I found out about it." I heard about an old preacher that preaching in his 80s and 90s and still going strong, and somebody said, how you keep doing this? He said, "I found out God loved me, and I ain't got over it yet." I hope you're not over it yet. Let his love talk to you. So the next slide, I put you a little formula up here. Can you see the formula? If you want intimacy with God, love for God plus obedience to God equals intimacy with God. You can't be intimate God if you're not doing what he tells you to do. Love plus obedience equals intimacy with him, with God. And the last slide. This is your assignment, should you choose to accept it. Is that that old movie or the TV show? I hope you choose to accept this one. What's his command in John? You say, "Well, I try to keep God's commands. I just don't know. I just don't know about that." John 15:12. What does it say? John said to his disciples, "My primary directive, my command is this: love each other as I have loved you." That's a big one, isn't it? If you think I have loved you, and if you appreciate how I have loved you, love other people. So, that's your assignment this week. Look among the church family here this week, and on purpose, do something to show love to somebody else. Just pick somebody. Pick somebody. We had a thing one time where we had the thing where we passed out names and everybody took a name of another member. It was kind of at random. And we said, "Okay, you two, this family here, you pick their card. So you two, you got a month. Pray for each other all month long." And a lady came to me and she said, "I like that so much because it made me obligated to pray for somebody." Get specific. Get specific makes it go better, doesn't it? Specifically, if it's a card, if it's a phone call, if it's a pizza, if it's a breakfast together, whatever it is, that's your assignment this week. If you love God, didn't Jesus say that? If you love me, you love my people. "Do you love me, Peter?" "Well, yeah, you know I love you." "Okay, take care of my people." Isn't it amazing that almost always the first command was love people and take care of my folks? Last time I checked, he's not here. He's at the right hand of God. We are his body. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his legs. We are his ears and eyes on this earth to help each other. Are you willing to do that? I think you are. I think you are. The last one is where we're going to pray. We have this notebook here, in case you didn't know, but this is full of names, about 30 or 32 pages of names. And these names are of people who do not know Christ. Now, there's an act of love right there to try to get somebody involved in church, or bring them in, or however you bring kids to Vacation Bible School. That's an act of love, isn't it? This is full of names, and all the names are people not yet that we know that you turned in these names that you know that we know that do not know Christ, have not yet come to Christ, or some of them have come and they fell away. So why do we pray over these? I thought God would just do it. Why didn't He just do it? Because they have free will. He can't make any, He won't make you. Did He make you come to church today? Did something grab you by the back of your jacket and pull you in here? No. So these people have a free will. Why are we praying? Well, God said if you don't ask, you don't have. He needs, in a sense, He needs permission. He needs the door to open. He's not going to kick the door down. Didn't Jesus in Revelation say, I stand at the door and knock? Is He going to kick it in? I mean, that church needed Him. That's Laodicea, I think it was. They needed Him desperately. But He's out there knocking on the door. You going to let me in? Because He respects their freedom of choice. When we pray, we push that door open a little bit. They won't ask, so we're going to step in here for them and ask and push that door open a little bit, and He'll come on in. It works. We've seen it work, haven't we? So we're going to pray right now, and I hope you do the same. Pray. If you can remember the names you put in here, pray for them right now while we're praying. Father, we ask You for these individuals. We love them. We care what happens to them. We care and ask You to reach into their lives and bless them with a message. If we are the ones, give us assignments. If we're the ones who are supposed to do this, contact them. We ask for them, Father. We ask that You open that door. And we're doing it by prayer, and we know that when that happens, You have a human being standing in their behalf asking You to come in and change lives. You love that, Father. You love changing lives because You love people. You so love the world. You so love the world that You gave Jesus. Thank You, Father, for hearing our prayer today and answering. May these folks come to You in great numbers. Those who have fallen away, may they come back in great numbers. We believe in You. We put our faith in You. We can't make it happen. So we're asking You in Christ's name. Amen.